Good morning. We're happy that you're with us. I don't know how I got that in there, but I got it in there. I can't get it out now. I have no idea. Beverly will find it. Beverly will get it out of there someday. We're thankful that you're with us. We have guests among us. Mars Hill, that's a code. Remember? That's a code. We must have because Bart and Lannon are sitting on this side. It must mean someone got their seats. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Hey, we got Geneva, first name. Huh? Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yes. We all know Geneva because she attended with us for years. This is Herschel. And yeah, you guys be sure you meet them. They're wanting to move back. They're wanting to get back closer to heaven. So they're wanting to move back. So, you know, help them find some property. I've been trying to help them out. But you can't help some people. You know, you just can't help. They want to live in the boonies. So help them out. Be sure you meet them. Encourage them. Get to know them. Let's see. There's Nisha. Good to see you. This is Nisha Stacks sitting right over here. I know the last name was Miller. They're sitting right back in here someplace. I know that. And I know there's Laura sitting there. We have guests. There seemed like there was someone else. Oh, the Johns. Be sure you meet the Johns, especially the kids. You know, the adults are special, but the kids are even more special. So be sure you meet Ethan. And there's Caden. He's ducking. But he's sitting back there. Be sure you meet them. And be sure you meet Sister Ellison. She used to attend with us. I shook hands with her a while ago, and she said she was from Nevada now. So we're glad that she's back with us, and we're thankful for all of our guests. And if I miss someone, I didn't mean to. We're just thankful you've come to be with us, and you now have got work to do here at Mars Hill. As we dismiss in a few minutes, be sure you get around and speak to those people. Kids Connection begins this evening, and then each Sunday evening, the next Sunday evening, we're having an afternoon service. Remember, we'll talk about that more in just a minute, but we'll still meet for just a minute right here. We just won't go to a class next Sunday afternoon, and then we'll pick it up again on its regular schedule right after that. But this Sunday evening, our children, just meet right over here where Thomas is sitting, you know, right in that area. And we'll do a few things, and then you'll have a class. The adults will have a special lesson each week based on just about the same thing their kids are studying, just from the adults' perspective. This evening, it's about I remember when I was three. I just made up my mind. I didn't need my parents anymore. You remember that, Mom? Yeah, yeah, yeah. She said it got worse as I got older. You know, began to get more independent. But sometimes, you know, we as children, we don't really get it. Why do I need my parents at all? And the parents will be studying, why do our children need us and how important we are in the life of our children? So we'll be trying to make that connection this week. So have your kids here. Get them here at 5. Have them a little early if you can. And we're going to have a great time together with that. Next Sunday is a special Sunday for us. Every time there's a month that has 5 Sundays, we have a potluck meal together. We have an early afternoon service. Many times it affords us an opportunity to have what I refer to as a mini gospel meeting. We're able to invite a special speaker in, and they deliver us a message at the Bible school hour. They deliver us a message at our worship service hour. Then we eat together, and then we come right back together, and they're able to deliver us a message in the afternoon. So we get a mini gospel meeting out of it. Next Sunday, Caleb, next Sunday, Brother Mickey Burleson will be here. Now, Mickey's not a stranger to most of us. Mickey has preached in this area, in and out of this area is what I call Mickey, in and out of this area. He moved off to to Alabama, then South Carolina, then came back, and then moved off to northern Kentucky, and then has now come back. And he's in the Conway area now, living in Conway. And well, just a few weeks ago, Bob and I were at a preacher's meeting, and we asked Mickey if he would bring us our study thoughts. And he presented us a lesson, a very challenging lesson, on answering the call to greatness. And that was part of a three-part series. And so he's going to come, and he's going to be presenting those. It's something you'll be blessed by. Your friends and family will be blessed by that. And so be sure that you are here next Sunday. Stay for the potluck. Bring a little bit. Bring enough to cover your family and a little bit more for the guests that we'll have. We'll have a great service together. I congratulate the ladies on a great Ladies' Day yesterday. Barely keeps talking about it. Thinks it's one of the best that she's been to, is what she's told me. And so I'm sure that it was. They wouldn't let me sit in. So, you know, I'm just going on what they said. But I know it was a great day, and our ladies were encouraged by it. Thanks for everyone that helped with that. I want to talk to you this morning about our special servants. So be turning in your Bible to Acts chapter 6. Our special servants. Of course, I'm talking to you about deacons. Our special servants. It is my opinion that in Acts chapter 6, we have the first deacons in the church. I know I have some who differ with me. They say, well, they couldn't possibly be deacons because there weren't elders yet. But folks, there are apostles there. In fact, I want to remind you that the church, the only congregation of the Lord's church existed in Jerusalem. It had not yet gone out side of the city of Jerusalem. They hadn't begun to start those congregations out here and out there and everywhere. And the apostles were there. They don't go out until the persecution arises. And you read about that in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, they begin to go out. It's shortly after that, you'll read in Acts chapter 11, that there are elders in Jerusalem. But remember, the apostles have begun to go out to visit those congregations that are being established at that time out in those regions. So you do have leadership in the Lord's church there in Jerusalem. It's apostles. But we don't have apostles anymore. We don't have the apostles. But we do have elders, don't we? We do have elders. And so I think these are the first deacons. I really do. I think they are the first deacons. And I want to just talk to you about these special men, these special individuals. And I've entitled this, Our Special Servants. And so you got 3 points there. Our special servants. But let's go at it from back to front, because it's no fun to go at it the other way, I guess. Let's go at it from back to front. They are servants. First of all, let's read it together. Let's read it together. I'll point something out to you, so a few things out to you, and then we get into this. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, the church had grown. The number of disciples that had multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. The Grecians against the Hebrews. They're both Jews. They're both Jews. The church was made up of Jews. In the beginning, that's who it went. To the Jews first, then also to the Gentiles, okay? Beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. They're Jews. But in that day, there were Jews who their first language was Hebrew. They lived there. They lived in Jerusalem. They lived around there. They lived close to that temple. But then there were others who their first language, although they were Jews, their first language was Greek. And oftentimes, probably they lived on the, out. Remember, The day of Pentecost, they'd come from all over the world. And once becoming Christians, they continued to stay in Jerusalem so that they could abide in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. They needed to be instructed. They needed to be taught. And so you have these Greek-speaking Christians. They're Jews, but they're Greek-speaking, and they've now become Christians. And you have these Hebrew-speaking Jews who have now become Christians. And a murmuring arose, a murmuring of the Grecians, the Greek-speaking Christians now, against the Hebrew-speaking Christians, because they're the Grecians, the Greek-speaking Christians, their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So this dispute, this murmuring arises. Then the 12, the apostles, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them, all of them. Called the multitude unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They didn't say that serving those tables is unimportant. They didn't say serving those tables doesn't need to be done, doesn't need to be taken care of, that this work doesn't need to be done. They don't even say that this work that we're doing is more important than that work. They don't even say that. They just said, it's not reason for us, the 12. It's not reason for that we should leave the word of God. They're the ones that had it. I mean, everyone else is getting it from the apostles, the word of God, from the apostles. And this is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Serving tables is just as important. It's just as important. It's just a different work. Just a different work. If it wasn't all that important, they could have just said, hey, why are you worried about something that's so unimportant? But they didn't say that. They addressed the situation. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we'll give continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, I don't know whether to make much of this or not, but Luke, who penned this letter, chose, and I say that without even knowing what I'm talking about. But every one of these seven men have a Greek name. Who did this dispute? Who began the murmuring? The Greek speaking murmured against the Hebrew speaking. And at least Luke, when he wrote this, he chose it. I say that because it was not uncommon in that time for the Jews to have a Hebrew name or Jewish name and a Greek name. So it's not uncommon. Whether that's the case here or whether these men, this is the only name they had, were Greek names. They didn't have a Hebrew name. Or whether it's the case that they had a Hebrew name, they had a Greek name, and Luke chose to give them the Greek name. I'm just pointing out to you, they're all seven Greek. They're all seven Greek. Now think of the wisdom in that. Who's doing the murmuring? The Grecians. The Grecians. It's our widows that aren't being taken care of. Okay, choose you out from among you. Who's the among you? I don't know. Is it every one of them? Or is he saying, hey, okay, choose you out, you Greek speaking, choose you out from among you. Seven men. At least all seven have Greek names. That's what I'm saying to you. At least all seven of them have a Greek name. And one of them's even a proselyte, isn't he? He wouldn't even have been a Jew. His name is Nicholas. He's a proselyte. He wouldn't have been a Jew, but he's taken on the Jewish faith. what wisdom, at least I see in that. I see in that. If we select all Hebrew-speaking Christians to take care of of the Grecian widows, hey, what was the dispute anyway? It's that the Hebrews aren't taking care of the Grecian widow. So I could see a lot of wisdom in what was done here, in what was done. I know this, it worked. It worked. Look at verse number 6. And when they set before, and whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Something that could have torn the church apart actually causes the church, when a situation is handled properly, to grow and to multiply, not just multiply, multiply greatly. It worked. It worked. Now I want you to think about these special servants of ours, these deacons. First of all, recognize they are servants. They are servants. See, all Christians are servants, aren't they? Every one of us, we're servants. John chapter 13, remember, Jesus is just hours from the cross. Just hours from the cross. In John chapter 13, he washes his disciples' feet and he tells them, hey, I've left you an example. I've left you an example that you should do to others as I've done to you. A little bit later, same chapter, same context, everything. Don't ever get this separated. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I've loved you, so love you one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. We're all to be servants. Every one of us are to be servants. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus is in the region of Caesarea, and his disciples have been arguing among themselves. Jesus finds the opportunity as he calls them together. He finds the opportunity and he says to them, what were you disputing about as we traveled? They wouldn't answer because they knew they'd been arguing about who's the greatest among us. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? And Jesus said, whosoever among you would be the greatest, let him be the servant. Isn't that right? The servant of all. And he took a child and he says, you know, unless you learn to serve like a little child, you're not even going to have a part in this kingdom. We're all to be servants. So I want you to recognize, they're to choose out men from among them. What are these men already? If all Christians are servants, what are they already? They're already servants, aren't they? They're already servants. We're all to be servants. In fact, a form of this word that shows up here in our text, in verse number 2, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Diakonos. Serve tables. The form of this word appears 33 times in the New Testament. This is interesting to me. Maybe only to me. But this is interesting to me. It appears 33 times. 10 times, it's just generic. Just generic. It applies to all of us, to all followers, all disciples of Jesus Christ. 10 times, and it's translated minister. Minister. I've been in Neosho. working in a great work up there this last week. The week before that, about 10 days before that, the local paper called me. They'd given them my phone number. They wanted to write up an ad about what was going on in the Neosho this last week. They called, what title do you want us to give you in this article? That's one of the questions. What title do they want us to? You want us to give? Are you reverend? No, I'm not reverend. Please, don't call me reverend. Don't call me reverend. Well, are you pastor? No, don't call me pastor. I'm not a pastor. Don't call me pastor, please. Well, what should we call? I'm just David. And they said, well, you know, we feel like we need something. Just say, I am one of the ministers of the Mars Hill congregation. Now, I'm looking at some of you right now, and you're thinking to yourself, one of the ministers, you are the minister. No, what are every one of you? Every one of you are ministers, aren't you? Aren't we all to be servants? Every one of us. 10 times in the King James Version, it's translated minister. 19 times, it's translated as servant or servants. 19, those are just generic, applies to all of us, every one of us. And four times, it is translated deacons or deacons. 3 of those 4 times are in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it gives the qualification for deacons. Two times it's singular, one time it's deacons, plural. The other time is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, where the Apostle Paul gives a salutation to the church at Philippi, Philippi, to the saints at Philippi with its bishops or overseers, pastors or elders, presbyters, with its bishops and deacons. Now here's what seems interesting to me. That even the translators of the King James Version, wanted us to understand that when we're talking about these men, they refer to them as deacons. Not here in Acts 6, but in 1 Timothy 3, Philippians chapter 1. Because we're talking about someone special. But we would know that even if they translated it minister or servants. We would know that. Why? Because there are special qualifications. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they got qualifications, right? They got qualifications. So here's what we're talking about. We ought to know something, be able to identify something about these men. If the same word is translated ministers, servants, and deacons, what are deacons? What is a deacon? Well, a deacon is a minister, isn't he? Well, isn't he? I mean, all Christians are to be deacons, and these men were selected out of servants, right? Out of servants. So they're servants, they're ministers, they're servants. In fact, the very word diakonos means minister. It can be translated servant. It could be translated out of the Greek into waiter. It could be translated out of the Greek into attendant. It's that word. So we learn something. That when we're talking about deacons, we are talking about servants. We are talking about ministers. And they are special though. Because we're all. This will be the next one, Caleb. These are all. We're all ministers, servants. We're all that. But these men are special. I mean, even here in our text, the apostles, the 12, said, choose you from among you seven men of good report, full of the Holy Spirit, that we might whom we may appoint over this business. You're all servants. You're all servants, but there's this business. There's this business. And over this business, there will be some special servants. Make them more important than you? No. It just means they have a special work. They are special servants. And they have a special work. For these seven men, their special work was taking care of this ministration of tables. Taking care of this daily ministration of the widows. That was their special work. And they have special qualifications. Oh, they're qualifications that I suppose any man ought to aspire to have. I don't know why you wouldn't. But we don't all line up with these qualifications. But these men must have them. And in fact, I'm going to read to you 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8. I remind you that the qualifications for elders are first, overseers, rulers, bishops. Those qualifications are first. Verse number 8 begins with the word likewise. If those elders are to be spiritual men, how about these special servants? Yeah. Likewise must the deacon be grave. Your translation may render it respectful. Some may render it, and many of them do, dignified. They're grave. They're serious. They're not double-tongued. That same phrase, almost identical, the same phrase appears in James chapter 3 when James is warning about the dangers of the tongue. He talks about someone who's double-tongued. You know, out of one side of their mouth comes blessings, out of the other side of their mouth comes cursings. You know what I'm talking about? Don't be double-tongued. Don't be double-tongued. Not given to much wine. Don't be addicted to anything. To anything. Don't let anything dominate you. Anything. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Not greedy. That's the idea, not greedy. And there are two ways. There are two ways to obtain money. There are two ways. The right way and the wrong way. Right? Don't be guilty of being greedy for money in the wrong way. The wrong way. Filthy lucre. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of the faith. In Ephesians chapter 3, the mystery of the faith is identified as the gospel. These men know the gospel. You can't hold it if you don't know it. Can you? These men know the gospel. These men love the gospel. That's implied in holding it. They love the gospel. These men live the gospel. That's implied in holding it. They love the gospel. They know it. They love it. They live it. They live it. In verse 10, and let these also first be proved. Translation may render it tested. Tested. It seems to me the Apostle Paul is saying that you don't look out there and say, well, there's a good man. He meets all these, he meets everything else, the ones we've read so far and the ones we hadn't yet got to. He meets all of these. Now, he's never served in any way, any capacity. He's never, you couldn't hardly get him to serve. You couldn't hardly get him to do anything. Let's make him a deacon. No, maybe he'll serve then. Oh no. He's been a servant all along, isn't he? All Christians are servants. These men are servants that just now they have a special service. They're special servants. And so you're looking for men they're already serving. They're already serving. Beverly and I were at a service a few months ago where they were installing new deacons. And one of the deacons who was installed, the elder who was announcing them, said, this brother came to us. And if I remember correctly, this brother came to us and said, I see a work that I think is being neglected, and I'd like to be responsible for seeing that work is carried out. And as I remember it, it was the work of every time a guest came into their assembly, we want to see that guest, we want to meet that guest, we want to visit that guest. Every time. I want that to be my work. Now, is that a special work? He had a special work, right? He has a special work. He's already serving, hadn't he? He's already been serving. Now he's coming. Let me serve in a special way. In a special way. Hey, you know what? I know Thomas's work in management. You got a job that needs to be done. You get all kinds of prospects. But you always look out and say, now which, you know, I got this job needs to be done, and this, and this is required for this job to be done. Who have I got that can do that? And then, you know, do they want it? Will they take it? That kind of thing. I really think that's what's happening in Acts chapter 6. Here's a work that needs to be done. You don't say, well, let's appoint some men and now let's give them a job. It looks to me like in Acts chapter 6 there was a job. Now look out, you seven men who could do that work. Now are they qualified? Are they men who meet certain qualifications? Okay, if they do, we'll set them over that work. It's the work and then the man to fit the work, not the man and then make the work fit the man. You get yourself in trouble when you do that. I mean, you do. You get yourself in trouble when you do that. I remember once, long, long ago, I was in management for a company, and I had a guy that was top notch, out of this world, top notch. And I said, I want to make you the supervisor. And we did. You know what? He was terrible at being a supervisor. He was just awful at that. That was a mistake on my part. I lost a good employee that was right in the job that he was doing, and I ended up with a terrible supervisor. So it wasn't very long. He came back to me and he said, I'm not good at this. I don't even want to do this. Can I have my position back? You see if you can find someone else. What do you think we did? Exactly that. It's the job first, then the man. Now I know we do it different most of the time. It's okay. Y'all tell us, the men. Now we'll try to fit a job to the man. A business doesn't work like that, and a lot of times in the Lord's church, it doesn't work out like that. It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. But these men have special works. Let them first be proved. They've proven themselves that they can do this work. They've been tested. They've seen it. And then, verse 10, then let them use the office of a deacon, being blameless. And their wives. Their wives have to be people of character too. They've got to be grave. Women of dignity, of respect, not slanderers. They've got to be stable, sober, faithful in all things. That deacon has got to be the husband of just one wife, verse number 12. And he rules his children and his house well. Verse number 12. Oh, they'll receive a reward. Verse number 13. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that just the way it works? Isn't that just the way it works? You have this man who is a man of character and reputation. He's well respected. And he comes in and he begins to serve in a special way. And what happens? The respect for him grows. His standing in the congregation, his standing in the community grows. His faith grows. He becomes more bold in his faith. Isn't that just the way it is? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. They are special servants. They have special work. And they have special qualifications. Just because you're not qualified to be a deacon, does that mean you can't serve? Oh no, you are a servant. Get that through our heads. We are servants. Every one of us ought to be, instead of sitting around saying, well, I don't have anything to do. What needs to be done? Look at it. What needs to be done? You know what? I may not be the best one at that, but no one else seems to be doing it. I'll do it, and with an attitude, I'll do it until someone better at that comes along. And then I'll find me something else to do because I'm a servant. I'm a servant. Now, folks, that's what it means to be a congregation of the Lord's people. What would we be involved in if every single one of us, that was our attitude? I'm a servant. I'm going to be looking for a work for me to do. I'm not waiting for someone to come and say, would you do this work? Because you know what happens. A lot of times when you're asked, would you do this work? Well, have we ever had that? Well, I'm not sure. I'm just not, I'm not sure. That's what happens because, hey, we're just trying to match up people with a work, right? But what if people match themselves to a work? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And every one of us doing that. They're servants. They're special. And they're ours. They're ours. Notice, Peter didn't say, or the 12 didn't say, now you go out and you hire you someone. Surely there's someone out there. Run an ad in the paper. No. Choose from among you. From among you. I mean, these are men they would have known, right? They would have known. Like our great elders. How long has Curtis been among us? When he said he had served, we knew him, didn't we? We knew him. How about Steve? How long has he been with us? He's ours, isn't he? He's ours. We knew him. We didn't have to worry about them. We know him. We know him. Hey, these men, they're ours. They're ours. They are simply servants among that come from among servants. They're already serving just like the rest of us are. They're already serving. But there's a work over there. There's a work over there. Would you help us make sure that work is done? They're our servants. They're our servants. Of course they continue to serve the lost as well. Stephen did, didn't he? I mean, the remainder of Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7, you have that longest sermon in the book of Acts recorded for you in Acts chapter 7. And who preaches it? Stephen. It got him stoned to death too. That's what a long sermon will do for you. Stephen did. You read about old Philip. Philip in Acts chapter 8 goes down to Samaria. He goes down to Samaria, preaches at Samaria. God says, hey, I want you to go down to that road that leads from Jerusalem down to Gaza. He preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch. You read about him again in Acts chapter 21. He's referred to as Philip. He's in Caesarea now. He's referred to as Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven. They're out there working among the lost, but they're our special servants. They're taking care of works that we need taken care of. we as a congregation need taken care of. They're servants, they're special, and they're ours. They're ours. So what is a deacon? A deacon is a special servant qualified by the Holy Spirit. Were our elders? Are elders qualified by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, we've got their qualifications, don't we? Let the Holy Spirit direct us. Let the Holy Spirit guide us. Let the Holy Spirit help us find those men. So we need to be you to be actively involved in this, just like you were in our search for elders. You be praying. You've already been asked to. Think about men. You know, submit them to our elders. Submit those names to our elders. Think about it. But don't submit them till you've prayed about it, till you've looked at these qualifications. Let the Holy Spirit qualify the men that we put in. Let that be the way. We want to seek God's will first, don't we? We always want to seek God's will before anything else. Well, we need men. We need men who it's God's will that they serve us in those special ways. What is a deacon? He's a helper. He's assistant to the elders. Folks, there's only one special group of servants who are rulers, overseers, bishops. They're elders. These men aren't elders. They're helpers, they're assistants to the elders. The elders may say, we need someone. I'm just giving you for instance. We need someone to check on our widows, widowers, and shut-ins. Would you help us? Now maybe you look at that and you say, man, here's somebody. You know what? That's where their heart's already at. Does he qualify? If he meets the qualifications, wouldn't it make sense to match him with the work? That's where his heart's at. That's where he's already putting his energy. That'll be my work. I'll let you know of any needs that I find out. I'll let you know of anything that they say. I'm in need of this. I'm in need of some help. I'm in need of this. I'm just giving you one example. Just one example. They're helpers. They're assistants. The folks, they are important fellow servants. Fellow servants. And that's the way we've got to see it. Okay, well, that's so. He's the deacon over that. He'll take care of it. No, he's the deacon. How can I help him? Because he's just one of my fellow servants, right? Well, yes or no? He's just one of the fellow servants. So I don't expect him, we don't expect the deacons to do everything. We expect them to help us in those areas that they're responsible for, find our opportunities to serve. How can I help you? When's the last time we went to one of our deacons? How can I help you in that work? How can I help you? Let's change that. If we haven't been doing that, let's change that. Here's an opportunity for us to do better. I even put it this way. Here's an opportunity for us to do right, because I think we're wrong if we're not doing it. Here's the opportunity for us to do right. They are fellow servants with us. We've just asking them to do a special work. Help us make sure this work is done and done to the best it can be done. It'll make a difference, folks. It'll make a difference. It did in the book of Acts. The number of disciples multiplied, how much? Greatly. Greatly. It worked in the book of Acts. Will it work for us? It'll work for us as well. And so, we need to work toward these things. I stuck it in my pocket, folks. I have no idea how I got it in that pocket because this pocket is sewed up. I'm telling you, it's sewed up. Oh, wait a minute. There's an inside pocket here. I'm going to give you an illustration that the old preachers used to give. This is the invitation. The old preachers used to take a handkerchief and they'd say, you know, there's only one way for that handkerchief to be clean. Only one way. Either cleansed, cleaned, or never stained. Make sense? Either cleaned or never stained. How about your soul? Is it never stained? If it is, you're fine. You're fine with God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But most of us who've reached any kind of age where we know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, we know what God wants. A lot of us, we know we've sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. So the truth is, with our handkerchief, it's already been stained. So what's the only way it can be pure again? Is if it's cleansed, right? If it's washed, if it's made clean. If it's made clean. Like Paul told, what was his name? Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16. Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Wow. It's like Peter told them in Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, as he stood on Solomon's portico outside that temple. And he told them, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Blotted out. Cleansed. At the time of refreshing, come from the presence of the Lord. This morning, if you're here and your soul needs cleansed, it's been stained by sin. You know it. It's been stained by sin. Why not? Why not? Let the blood of Jesus, Revelations 1 verse 5, who has washed us from our sins in His own blood. Why not let the blood that Jesus shed wash you clean this morning? If you stand in need of the invitation as a person that needs to become a Christian, we're here to help you with that. As our brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have need, we'll help you in that way too. You let us know, but come to the front. Do that now as together we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us.